Welcome back to the Dr. Andre Show here on News Talk FM 95.9 and AM 1370 WGCL. Wanted once again to thank our sponsors, Williams Brothers Healthcare Pharmacy, exceeding customers' expectations since 1899, and Bloomington Hospital, advancing medicine, enhancing health. And we're very proud and grateful to have their support for this program. We're here this week with Dr. Amy Rothenberg, a naturopathic physician, talking about some of the principles of naturopathic medicine and homeopathy. Your husband, Dr. Paul Herskew, whom I have met and was able to sit in on some of his visits with patients, and the patients were very gracious about my presence there, and I learned a lot. And you and I don't, we haven't shared patients yet, but I was very impressed with his willingness to, if he felt a patient needed something that I could offer better, very willing to call me, talk to me about it. And from whatever discipline a healer comes from, being comfortable enough to do that and to know where you might be reaching a limitation is an extremely important part of being good at what you do.
Absolutely. We spend a lot of time in our work together, my husband and I, thinking about, well, first of all, if I have a patient that I'm not helping, I will often send them to Paul. Or we have one day every couple of weeks where we will see the patients together that we are not helping.
Boy, what a
figuring
great
that,
idea.
You know, two heads are better than one, and one person asks a question and gets a totally different response than the other person. Very helpful in terms of especially homeopathy, which I'll talk about in a moment. But we also do a lot of referrals to physicians in our area, both family doctors and specialists who we feel have more expertise in certain aspects of medicine than we do, both for treatment and for diagnostic help. And I can also say that after 24 years in practice, this is now very much reciprocated.
Yes.
You know, I can speak the same language. I will write up the same kind of patient chart review for a colleague. And I really love that part of my work because I always learn from my colleagues. I always learn something about that, something I didn't know about a lab test, or maybe we should be thinking about this, or, oh, hi, Amy, what do you think about that? And I feel that there, to some degree, is a similar openness going the other way, which is really something that I've worked on, we've built, and I feel like it has really come to fruition. So let's talk a little bit about homeopathy, because that's probably
yes.
one of the sorts of therapeutic modalities that I use that people understand least.
Yes.
Homeopathy is a system of medicine based on the idea that like cures like. We use very, very, very dilute doses of remedies. Most remedies, homeopathic remedies, are made from mineral and vegetable plant sources, and they are made by homeopathic pharmacies that are governed by the United States Homeopathic Pharmacopeia. We're not making these remedies in our back office. They are made by a licensed and accredited pharmacy.
And we have in Bloomington that resource available.
Oh,
is
you
that
do?
Right?
Yes. Well, most.
John.
I don't know where people get remedies in Bloomington. I'm not 100% sure. I imagine that the larger health food store would carry mm-hmm. some homeopathic remedies. They are not regulated at this point in time by the FDA, but the process of making them is regulated,
mm-hmm.
And we are very happy about that because we want somebody else controlling those substances.
Sure.
In terms of prescribing, we think often in terms of first aid, acute, and chronic kinds of problems. People that have first aid problems, there's only so many ways that a person with a first aid problem can manifest. So, for instance, if I had a patient that had some kind of sting from an insect,
mm-hmm.
we have almost a species response to that.
Yes.
And therefore, there's only 2, 3, 4 remedies, homeopathic remedies, that would be relevant. But what we're interested in is how did that bee sting, how does it feel? What makes it feel better? Is it burning and stinging? Is it better with a cold application? Is it better with a hot application? Is the person thirsty? Is the person less thirsty? Is the person chilly? Is the person warm? So we're looking both locally at the problem and also how it affects the person more constitutionally. With acute illnesses, things like sore throats, bladder infections, rashes, stomach aches, etc., it's a little bit wider how the human being can interact and manifest those kinds of illnesses. And therefore, there's a longer list of remedies from which you might choose. So, for instance, if I had 8 or 9 kids that presented with an earache, otitis media, they might need 8 or 9 different remedies, maybe 6 different remedies. One kid, you know, you look in their ears, they all look similar. A little bit of bulging eardrum, a little redness around the rim, a little bit of
dullness.
Dullness with the light there. But you would not so in allopathic medicine, orthodox medicine, you give all those kids this, you know, similar treatment, antibiotic.
Right.
Hopefully you're using the WASP approach, which the American Pediatric Association has endorsed, wait and see protocol.
Right.
But, you know, a lot of those kids will get antibiotics. With homeopathy, we're going to look at that ear and we're going to see what that looks like. But we're mostly going to be looking at the child. Is the kid screaming in pain? Is the kid like a wet rag? Does the kid need a lot of affection and attention? Are they thirsty?
A lot of stomach upset.
Do they have a stomach upset with it? Do they have diarrhea with it? Do they have a rash around the anus? You're going to look at the earache, but also look at the whole child. And depending on the way that child manifests that earache and how it affects the rest of their whole person, that is how you will prescribe the various remedies. But it's fairly easy to do. This is one of the things that I teach medical doctors who are interested in homeopathy first. We teach them how to treat acute illnesses because it's a pretty cookbook.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're going to ask X, Y, and Z questions. It's almost like a clinical prediction tool. You can ask these 10 questions and get yourself into the ballpark of 2 or 3 remedies. And then you, by your understanding and having studied the pharmacology of that particular remedy, we call it the materia medica of that remedy, you would know which one would be best for that child.
You know, a lot of people listening would know if we named various antibiotics they might use for an ear infection.
Yes.
What are some of the more common remedies that might be used?
The most common ones in my practice for otitis media, which is a very common complaint in children, as we know, would be Pulsatilla, which is made from the windflower. Pulsatilla, child with an earache, would be very clingy, needy, weepy. You put them down, they want to come up. You pick them up, they want to go down. Thirstless, very dry mouth, yet thirstless. Very, very warm, want fresh air, will feel much better if you bring them outside. That's a kind of snapshot of the Pulsatilla
And why
child.
Is a Pulsatilla going to help that?
Pulsatilla is going to help that because we know, because if that particular herb, it's made from the flower, was given to healthy people. It's sort of like a drug trial over and over and over again. They would develop symptoms like that. Homeopathy in the mid-1800s, when it was first being discovered and defined, really conducted the first drug trials where they gave these medicines to healthy people, just like you would using a drug, and seeing if it had any effect on them. And those people that were susceptible, due to genetic, you know, they weren't thinking genetics in the 1880s, but we know now, due to genetic susceptibilities, would manifest a certain physical symptom, but it would also, there would also be a more mental, emotional manifestation. And very careful notes were taken on all of these different medicines that were quote-unquote proven. That's the expression we use for these drug trials.
And we might say approved.
Yes, and
approved. Indicated.
Indicated. And that's how we would know that person needed that remedy.
So the idea is that for a child with an earache, some interruption has happened in the body's response, that it's either caught in a dysfunctional loop or something, and you give this very dilute agent that would cause similar symptoms, and then hopefully the body would be able to respond to it.
Exactly.
And
so
take
we're
care
capitalizing
of the same
on this urge toward health. So, like, for instance, if that child had a slight fever, we know that a slight fever is something that's good for infections. It helps to fight the infection. So, you know, one of the biggest problems we have in pediatrics, I think, is using all of these things to take away fevers, which obviously high fevers or in a child that has a susceptibility for febrile seizures can be problematic. But for a lot of kids, having 100, 101 is really going to be the thing that's going to help them get healthier more quickly.
Right. And, you know, in allopathic medicine, so much is, you know, try to get whatever severe complaint is there causing problems in the family out of the way. Even though there's a chance that it might be part of what's helping the person get over it quicker.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So with the Pulsatilla, then what type of response would you expect to see?
Well, I have seen responses to acute ear infections where the kid is really, really miserable and clingy and having a really hard time. And within half an hour, 20 minutes, they're just perky and happy and playing by themselves. Another remedy that we think about for earaches is belladonna. Some people know the remedy belladonna. They've heard about it. They've heard
atropine.
Of it. Atropine, exactly. And with the belladonna child, it's a totally different look. Bright-eyed, incredibly, you know, big pupils, high fever, red cheeks, screaming. Basically, if I pick up a phone to take a phone consultation on a kid with an earache and all I hear in the background is piercing screaming, I wouldn't just give belladonna without asking questions, but it's certainly one of the remedies that comes to mind. Mm-hmm. That sort of intensity versus a pulsatilla child who's going to be just wants to be held and got the head down on the mother's shoulder and maybe whimpering. Very, very different child. Higher fever in belladonna, we would see probably more injection and redness in the ear itself. And a kind of dryness to the skin, even though there is a very high fever. So we have first aid, acute, and then I do want to just say, lastly, probably where homeopathy has its most enormous promise and effectiveness is with chronic disease. And treating chronic disease is a little more challenging because there are many, many, many ways that a person can manifest a chronic illness. Many, many more ways than just what we've described with acute illnesses. So with chronic disease, it takes quite a bit more training and expertise to figure out what homeopathic remedy would be best suited for a patient who comes in with one, or what's more common, a handful of chronic illnesses.
Sure.
And we call that a constitutional remedy, really geared at the person's constitution,
mm-hmm.
and to shift their underlying tendency for those kinds of illnesses.
Well, that's great, Dr. Rothenberg. And I'd like to come back and talk about that a little bit more as it might pertain to homeopathic treatment for chronic illnesses.
Great.
So we'll take a break and be right back once again on the Dr. Andrew Show.